We're going to have God's word read now. I'm going to read it from John 19, verses 23 through to, I'll read through to verse 27. So if you do have a Bible at home, do grab it. It'll be on the screen as well. Let's come before God's word. And I'm just going to pray before we, when we read these words. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, which speaks powerfully to us. We pray as we hear it read now, and as Hannah comes to speak in a little moment, you would help us to hear well. Open our hearts, open our ears, help us to hear you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So John 19, reading from verse 23. When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it shall be." This was to fulfill the scripture which says, "They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." So the soldiers did these things. But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Great. Well, good morning, everybody. What a lovely video to watch on this Mothering Sunday to be reminded of all the different examples of mothers throughout the whole Bible. And this morning, we're going to focus in on one mother in particular from the Bible, and that's Jesus' mother, Mary. Tom just read for us that short but beautiful moment between them as he is on the cross. And in that moment, we learn that actually this idea of mothering is far greater and deeper than we might first think. So let's have a little think about this scene together. John's recorded it for us here in his word. In amongst all the action of Jesus' arrest and crucifixion, it's almost like the story slows down just for a few sentences as we zoom in to the foot of the cross. And we see standing there, John, Jesus' disciple, and these four women. Now, you won't have had to live for very long before you learn that the people who care about you the most are often the ones who stay with you, who stick by your side, even in the hardest times and the toughest moments. These women are determined to stay with Jesus right until the very end. Everyone else has deserted him, they're mocking him, they're tearing his clothes, but they aren't. They're there with him. You may have noticed earlier in the week, Monday, it was International Women's Day. I think here are some great examples of women to be celebrated for their courage and their faithfulness to Jesus. And among these women is Jesus' own mother, Mary. Mary, who even before this moment, is no stranger to pain or suffering in her life. Think about when she was a teenager and found out that she was going to have a baby, and then she had to give birth to that baby far from her home in a filthy stable. And then not long later, she learned that Herod wanted to kill her son and they had to flee. And now here she is at the foot of the cross, watching as they crucify her son, though he is completely innocent. I can't imagine the pain that she was feeling as she sees her son's hands and head pierced by thorns and nails, as she hears him cry out for thirst. Maybe, perhaps, the words of Simeon were ringing in her ears all those years before when Jesus was only young, when they were in the temple, and he said to her that this child is appointed for the falling and rising of many in Israel. He is a sign that is opposed. Simeon's words were foretelling this opposition that Jesus would experience that has led to this moment as he is hung on the cross. And his words as well also pointed forward to Mary's future suffering. He says, "And a sword will pierce through your own soul." I imagine as she heard those words, they'd have stuck with her throughout the years to come in Jesus' early life. But now here she is at the foot of the cross, and she is feeling that sword pierce her heart and her soul as these words are becoming fulfilled. Perhaps they're beginning to make sense to her in this moment, but the pain is felt nevertheless. And that is why this scene is, although painful, is beautiful because of what happens next and the care that we see that Jesus shows. Because just as Mary looks to her son on the cross, Jesus looks at his mother in her moment of distress, knowing not only the agony she's in right there in that moment, but knowing too that very soon after he's gone, she's going to need care and protection. Now, for many people, Mothering Sunday, this time of year, it doesn't spark happy thoughts. For lots of us, it's a painful day. And there are so many reasons for that. Maybe it's the loss of a mother or a grandmother, or the loss of a child, or the longing for a child that you don't yet have and may never have. There are so many reasons, and often the pain surrounding these issues is so great that we feel like we can't share it with others. It's only known in our own minds and hearts, and we can feel really alone and isolated. But what a comfort it is then to see that just as Jesus looks to his mother and understands her pain, so our Lord knows ours too. Our hurt is never hidden from him. And not only does he see it, but he does something about it. He cares and he speaks into the situation. Jesus looks, he sees his mother, he sees John, the disciple whom he loves. And he says, "Woman, here is your son." And to John, "Here is your mother." His words are brief but beautiful. Even in his dying moments, his concern is not for himself, but for others, for those who love him and have faithfully standing with him at the cross. Both Mary and John are feeling the pain in this moment, aren't they? And Jesus cares and provides for both of them in such a loving and beautiful way. Because this command to John, it's not just, you know, look out for her, keep an eye out if you're around. No, this is a command to take her in, to care for her like his own mother. And in turn, he is to be taken in and cared for as a son and treated as a son. What a saviour we have, matchless in his tenderness, compassion and kindness. And so we're going to sing together now about that loving kindness of our Lord Jesus in our next song. Here's a challenge for you. If I asked you to write down or to draw a picture of the people closest to you in your family, I wonder who you would draw and who you would write down. Some of our lists and drawings would be bigger than others. Some of us have lots of brothers and sisters. Some of us just have smaller families. Well, I did a little search, and here is a picture of the UK's biggest family. This is the Radford family. You might have heard of them. Sue and Noel are the mum and dad. You might spot them in there amongst everyone else. They have 22 children. That is madness. That is a lot of children. Imagine being in lockdown in their house. That would not be very fun. They're a pretty big family that we see there, probably bigger than all of ours. Well, in this moment that we've just been thinking about between Jesus and his mother, not only do we see the care that Jesus shows for her, but we can also learn from it something really special about what it means to be a family. Perhaps, like me, when you first read these verses, you thought that it was a little bit strange that Jesus entrusts Mary to his disciple John and not to any of his brothers, Mary's other biological children. Surely they would have been able to look after her and care for her as she got older and after Jesus had gone. But Jesus doesn't do that, does he? And to help us see why, I think it's helpful to read some verses right at the beginning of John's Gospel that he's recorded for us. He writes this in John chapter 1. Jesus was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And then a little bit later on, a couple of chapters later, chapter 7, despite all the miracles and the teachings that Jesus has been doing, John tells us that not even his own brothers believed him. Jesus is living amongst his own people. He's came to them, but his own did not receive him. But here at the cross are people who did. Mary and John are standing by him faithfully. They have believed in his name and received him as their Lord. And so in turn, he receives them as children of God. They're received into a new family that's being revealed by Jesus on the cross. In the shadow of the cross, this new family is being created. Through his blood, our relationships and families are reshaped and redefined. From his death, a new family is born. A family for those who love Jesus to be cared for and to care for others. Jesus says, "Here is your son. Here is your mother." And in verse 28, John tells us that from that hour, the disciple took Mary into his home. From that moment on into the future, just as God spoke in creation and it came to be, so here in this moment, Jesus speaks, and a woman gains a son, and a disciple gains a mother. Jesus' words being spoken here are creating this new family. And before I ask you to think about who is in your family, who you draw, who you'd write down, I imagine most of us were thinking about the people that we share a house with or share a surname with, our parents or our siblings or our children. And that's great, they're all amazing, our families are wonderful. But actually, we learn here that for those of us who love Jesus, our true family is the family that he was creating for us by his death on the cross. That is our true family. And so if you were to try and draw them or write everyone's name, you'd need a pretty big piece of paper because it would include every Christian that is living in the whole world, that has ever lived and that will ever live. That is a huge family that we're part of, a lot bigger than the Radford family we saw a picture of before, a massive family. But not only is this new family bigger than we might have thought, but it's also so much deeper and stronger and closer as well. Think again to those people in your family. What is it that connects you all together? What do you have in common? Well, you're all blood relatives, aren't you? It's your blood that connects you together. And people often use the expression, blood is thicker than water. Have you heard that? To talk about how the family relationships we have are super strong and how people will do absolutely anything for their family. And we see that in everything, even in the TV we watch. Think of the movie The Lion King, how Mufasa, as a father, will do anything for his son Simba. He even risks his own life for him. Or in Frozen, Anna and Elsa as sisters are really, really close and they do anything for one another. Or another example, I'm watching a TV series at the moment called Prison Break, and there is a man who's put in prison for something he didn't do. And his brother cares so much, he goes to such extreme lengths for his brother that he gets himself put into prison so that he can try and break him out. That's an amazing commitment. He will do anything for his brother. Now, I'm sure that most of us will never have to go to that extreme, I'm sure, but we will all know this strength and deepness and care and love of our family. Families are places where we are known and loved deeply, where we'll do anything for each other, and we're always there for one another. But just like we saw how this new family created by Jesus is so much bigger than our earthly families, It's also in with the people in this new family and new fellowship that we are connected to the most closely. You see, our church meetings, they're not just some event that happens in the week or throughout the week. Every time we meet with people from our church and other Christians, we're meeting together as a family that we all belong to and can be loved in and can enjoy, a family that is committed to building deep and lasting relationships with one another, where we'll do anything for one another and always support one another. Because blood is thicker than water, but it's not our blood or DNA that unites us. It's the blood that Jesus shed for us on the cross that brings us closer, even closer than our earthly families. And as we think about Jesus shedding his blood for us on the cross, we're reminded of all the times when we let him down and we don't live like this family that we're meant to. And so Tom is going to lead us in a time of confession now. Thanks, Tom. In our last section, we're going to just think for a few minutes how we can live out what it means to be part of this family and how we can each do that. Because all that we've been thinking about this morning, it should make us think differently about our church family. Just like Mary and John became a family together, offering one another support and love and loyalty and encouragement, we are brought into that same family, and so we should show each other that same hospitality and service and love. And today is a great day that we do that. On Mothering Sunday, we celebrate our mothers and all the women in our family who show us this love and support all year round. And we thank them so much for all that they do for us. And I think particularly this last 12 months has shown us the patient love and enduring strength of our mothers, hasn't it? Mothers who have sacrificed their dining rooms to become classrooms. Mothers who've sacrificed some of their work time to help you with your maths lessons. Mothers who, now their family are in their home 24/7, are providing an endless stream of snacks and meals for everybody. Mothers who have sacrificed spending time physically with their loved ones, perhaps their grandchildren, so that they can keep their family safe. Our mothers are wonderful, and we do thank God for them and all that they do for us. But today is also a great day for us to give thanks for and celebrate all of our blood relatives, not just the women that we share our DNA, but the women who share our faith, who we are joined to by the blood of Jesus. And we saw in the video at the beginning of our service how from the garden to the cross, there is a full spectrum shown in the Bible of what it means to be a mother and to mother others. And it's the same for us too, no matter what our life circumstances like. As our picture of mothering and family has broadened this morning, it is my prayer that our understanding of what we can do to live in that family and to show that mothering, loving care to others has broadened as well. Now, maybe after all we've been saying this morning, you're thinking, well, my experience of family, it doesn't look like this picture of strength and commitment and love that we thought about before. And you don't have to look very far around us to see that the world is full of broken families and broken relationships, and that's really sad, and many of us know the pain of that personally. But here's why I think Christianity and this story we've been thinking about this morning is so wonderful. Because it offers a family to people whose earthly families are broken. And it provides a place for people feeling weak and alone and hurting to be welcomed in and to be loved. This family, God's family, is for everybody, and everybody has their part to play in it. So maybe you're thinking this morning, well, it's Mothering Sunday. I'm not a mother. I don't have children. Well, hopefully you've seen from what we've been thinking that being a mother is no less than a biological thing, but it's also so, so much more than that. Just look at Mary as an example from the verses we looked at. Perhaps when you read it, like me, when Jesus says to her, "Woman, here is your son," you were a bit shocked. You expected him to say, "Mother, here is your son." I'm not sure how my mum would like it if I started calling her woman. To us today, it seems a bit cold, maybe even a bit rude. But I'm sure you'll agree that from the situation and the conversation that happened, that's not what's going on here. There's no disrespect from Jesus to his mum. Instead, it reminds us that Mary's identity, first, is a believing woman of Jesus, and second, she is the mother of Jesus. It's not what has come from her womb that is important, but what comes from her heart. Her spiritual relationship with Jesus surpasses her biological one. Because in just a few hours, she's going to be physically without her son. But as her Lord and Saviour, Jesus will never leave her side for all of eternity. And that is such an encouragement, I think, to help us think of the many ways that we can mother others, even if we don't have children ourselves, whether that's by birth or adoption. We can come alongside people in the church family and share life with them and care for them. Or maybe for you, you're thinking, well, I am a mother, but my kids are all grown up and they don't live in my home anymore. They don't need me as a mum in the same way that they used to. Well, perhaps for you, this means that your time has been almost freed up in a way that you can use that to share with others, to serve in the church in a new way, or to come alongside maybe a younger Christian mum who has little children and is really struggling with the stresses and the strains of having a young family. It's a beautiful thing when we see that happening, isn't it, when older, wiser Christians come alongside others in the church. I'm really grateful for a lady called Sarah who did that with me when I was a teenager. She read the Bible with me and prayed with me. Or perhaps for you, you're thinking, well, I'm not a mother because I'm actually still a child or a young person myself. Well, your role is no less important in this family just because you're younger in age. It is really great for you to learn from the wisdom and experience of others in the church and to be cared for by them. But you can care for your church family as well. And it's also an encouragement to us when we see you living out your faith in tough and difficult situations, maybe at school or whatever it is. Or finally, perhaps you're listening and thinking, well, it's Mother's Day, I'm not a mother, I'm not even a woman. Well, men, fathers, you don't have to wait till the middle of June and Father's Day to play a role. You're not excluded from this family in any way. Look at John from this passage as an example to you. From that moment, he steps up and he takes Mary into his home and he cares for her like his own mother. And he does so called and inspired by Jesus, who shows such sacrificial love for him, for his mother, and for all of his people. We each have our part to play in this family. And so as our route of the lockdown is unfolding and we're going to begin to meet together physically soon, why don't we strive to show those around us, whether in our schools, in our workplaces, in our town, to show them how wonderful it is to be part of this family created by God, made possible only by the blood of Jesus. And today especially, let's praise and thank God as well for all the women in our lives, in our families and in our church family, who love us, mentor us, and share our faith with the Lord Jesus.